James 3, let's just continue on. Can we do that? Can we do that? Last week, he was talking about teachers, right? Just to teachers, just to me. That's it. So I sat and I taught myself. He was saying, not many of you should claim to be wise. Not many of you should aspire to be a teacher because you're going to be judged more harshly. And then it started talking about how those things kind of come about with your tongue and your boastful nature and those kinds of things. Well, this is just a continuation of that. Can I read it to you? Can I read it to you? It's going to be on the screen right behind me. It says this. Who, in verse 13, is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I woke up this morning at 5 o'clock, and all I could think of was Oompa Loompas. You want to talk about scary? It's kind of dark in my room, and I'm just looking at every corner. Are these candy-making minions in my house? But I'm thinking of Oompa Loompas because of this whole opening statement. He who is wise and understanding among you. You guys remember the Willy Wonka story? You guys remember how the Oompa Loompas really only came out when something bad happened? When somebody made a choice that was unwise? That's when the Oompa Loompas decided to actually sing. You never saw them really sing before that, which was weird. They were just kind of, they were trolls, I think is what they were. They just liked to troll people when they screwed up. But they always had this line in every verse. All the verses were different, but this one line was the same. It says, if you are wise, you will listen to me. And then it unpacks, you know, what it is that you're supposed to be wise and listen about. And that's the image that I had in my head this morning was Oompa Loompas. And I was just like, come on, man. Get up and teach about Oompa Loompas. The Oompa Loompa gospel. Yeah? So here it is, we get wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? He's talking to these leaders again. He's talking to these people that are teachers, these oppressed teachers that are teaching the truth, teaching the gospel. And he's warning them. He's warning them pretty sternly. Who is wise and understanding among you? And it sounds like the only reason he's talking about this is because this has become a problem of them giving lip service to something, but when it comes time to do it, it just isn't there. It just doesn't, the lifestyle doesn't follow what's being said. The lifestyle doesn't follow what's being taught. I read tons of commentary this week. I had tons of notes this week. And I don't think I need any of it. Dangerous ground. Here goes the rabbit trails. You guys are living for the rabbit trails every Sunday, huh? What's going to fly out of his crazy mouth next? I do have to say, I was a bit appalled. My good friend Rich came up to me right before the service. This gentleman right here. I will point fingers and name names. And he said, man, I'm digging the new look. It's a lot better than that. And I said, choose your next words carefully. That dirty old biker look that you had going on. And I just said, why, thank you, Rich. I apparently am just a clean young biker now. I don't know. There it goes. There's my notes. This is proof. I don't need them. But here it is, this wisdom. Who of you are wise? Let them show it by their faith lived out in humility. Please give me those. Thanks, man. Let them show it by their good life and deeds done in humility. And this is so funny to me because this is what the major beef with James is. This is why when I introed James, I called it the bastard child of the gospel. Because people look at James and they said, you're just preaching works, man. You're just preaching. All it is, that it's all about what we do. And he's looking at these people that this life has been all about what they've done up until this point. The Jewish law, everything that you had to do to appease God at that point was all about what you did. That's it. You had to sacrifice. You had to bring money. You had to bring goods. You had to bring vegetables. You had to bring grains. You had to bring all of these things just to make God happy. And so this new gospel comes about, this new gospel of grace and mercy in Jesus Christ, and yes, that is 100% truth. Yes, that is 100% beautiful. Yes, that is what saved us. But he has these teachers teaching these things about the gospel, about life in Jesus, about life in this kind of mixed up Jesus Jewish faith, as they're trying to put things in place, and you have these teachers talking about just do this, just do this, just do this, but they're not living any piece of that. And I sit here and I say, I can read commentaries on this to really try to drive this point home to you, and I think I don't need to do that because I think there's people here just like I was and can be at times who say a lot of good stuff and don't do crap when it comes to our faith. We have friends visit and we give wise counsel and we tell them and we point to our key Bible verses of the little bit that we've spent in the Word and we say, here, go here, look at this. That's great. And our lives are just in a shamble and just in a wreck because we're not practicing any of the things that we read here. We're not practicing any of the things that when God presses on our heart and says, you need to do this, we don't. And I don't need commentary to speak truth into that. I don't need commentary to tell you what you should and shouldn't do. I don't need commentary to sit here and say, live it, people. Do I? It's interesting because it's very descriptive of what this life in Jesus looks like, this wisdom that we attain, this knowledge that we have. He describes it. He says, but wisdom comes first from heaven. Comes from heaven is first of all pure. This is wisdom of God. This isn't wisdom of what you're learning at UW. That's good stuff. But this is wisdom that comes from God. This is wisdom that comes from the faith that if you claim Jesus Christ this morning, this wisdom comes from God and is first of all pure. Then it's peace, loving. And I look at my life and I say, am I a lover of peace? Do I love peace? Yesterday, I was riding in the Jeep with my boys, and we were talking about, I guess it was something to the effect of always joking with each other or being antagonistic or pestering one another, I think was the word, something like that. And I just said, well, I never pester you. And it was dead quiet, and they're like, what? And sometimes I pester my children, and this is the interesting thing. In Scripture it says, you know, parents, do not exasperate your children. I'm one that loves to exasperate my children. Sorry, Christmas is canceled this year. No! We're going to skip your birthday this year because we don't love you. No! I find funny humor in that. I'm sick and I'm twisted. I'm just a young, clean biker. I love you, brother. But I, for whatever reason, I get joy in just jacking with people and my own kids. And that joy takes it far beyond where it ever should be a lot of times. And I exasperate my children. And then I watch my wife has to come in and she blows a referee whistle and throws a flag and says, stop, just stop. Like, you know where this is going to go. And I'm like, oh, just trust me, I got this. And a lot of times it goes into a bad place. But this is not peace loving necessarily. This is me antagonizing with a certain mindset, you know, that this is okay, this is fine. Sometimes I get a wild hair and I feel that I need to correct people when I just need to keep my mouth shut because I know where this is going to go. It's not going to lead to peace. Sometimes with my own family, sometimes with you, sometimes with my friends. And so I sit and I say, does this description of what wisdom is, do I measure up to this? Am I peace-loving? Do I love peace? It's considerate. And it's interesting because we take this word humility because the whole first line, who is wise and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Craig posted earlier, I think on our Whitewater page, or maybe it was just his own page, a quote from C.S. Lewis, and this is what humility is. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. And so that plays in, this humility plays into this consideration, being considerate to who? To yourself, to those around you. We live in a generation, which I never thought I would say, I think I'm dating myself and getting old, where there is a low consideration for anything. If you have an appointment, it is okay to be an hour late and call and say, huh, sorry. Oh. This is a consistent thing with a lot of my appointments that I have with younger generations than myself, and I'm like 34. But this happens more and more, and this consideration of others and how you value people. And how you value time of people is being challenged, it's just the thing that you don't really have to do anymore because all you do is think for yourself and think about yourself, and it's not a real considerate culture that's coming up. And I find it interesting because, you know, everybody thought my generation was a bunch of jackwangs. Is that the appropriate term, Gus? Gus uses a term called jackwang. I don't know what it means, but it sounds good. It's appropriate here. But they thought we were just a bunch of jackwangs, and we didn't have it together. And so, but this consideration of others, in not even just appointments, but just your neighbors. A lot of times we want to spend time fighting our neighbors than we would rather love them. We would rather get mad about them parking a little bit into our driveway when they have some company over than we would invite them over to our house for a barbecue. My phone rang as Larry was, right as Larry was coming on, as Louise was praying, and I was like, who could be calling me on a Sunday morning? It's a 307 number. It was one of my neighbors RSVPing to our block party tomorrow. And I was like, this is awesome. But I left my ringer on. But this is the thing, is we look at our neighbors, we look at our family, we're not even considerate of our family half the time. And yet we claim wisdom, we claim we know truth, we claim we know grace, we claim we know mercy. And James is saying, true wisdom is pure, peace-loving, considerate. How about this one, submissive? Anybody like the word submission? When I do weddings, the vows that they used to have for weddings talked about, I will submit to you. And it's funny because that's the first thing that people say. Kick it out of there. I will never submit to my husband. I will never submit to my wife. And I find it interesting because I think, good luck having a great relationship then. If you can't humble yourself and submit, and submission, I understand, has bad definitions, has been trampled on, and is not a friendly word now. But James is using it. It's submissive. And what's I find most interesting is we claim to have a lot of wisdom, especially in this town. You sit with a lot of scholars, you sit with a lot of science buffs, you sit with a lot of educated folks, and I have a lot of friends that are educated folks who have degrees beyond degrees beyond degrees and make me look like I have a second grade education. And so we have a lot of knowledge and we have a lot of ways to fix our own life. We have a lot of ways to when problems arise, we just go into action and we take our knowledge of whatever that we bring to the table and we say, this is the right answer for this situation and I'm going to get myself out of this. You see it a lot in crisis. You see it a lot in financial situations. You see it a lot in name the area of life. And this wisdom is submissive. This true wisdom is submissive. Submissive to who? Submissive to God. Submissive to what he is asking of us to do. Submissive to this book, this word, this gospel, this Bible. And man, we buck that. We don't want it. We don't want to do it. Or we say, you know, we make reasons as to why we don't want to follow the Bible or say it's truth. Well, they talk about slavery in there. Yeah. Well, they talk about polygamy in there. Yep. So we can't follow it. But yet, I claim Christianity, I claim Jesus. So therefore, I don't see you have an option. I don't see I have an option. And I hate submission. Craig was talking about the analogy of a puppy. When you choose a puppy to see which one will actually submit to you, you flip it over on its back and you just hold your hand on it for a while. And you can tell the puppies that will want to be the alpha and not listen to you because they will bite, they will scratch, they will squirm, and they will not stop. But the puppies that will be submissive and respond to your authority will eventually stop squirming and just lay still. And that's been my experience with the gospel. When I started taking it seriously 8 years ago and I said, okay, Jesus, I want to know you beyond my surface level Christianity. I don't curse. I don't drink. I don't smoke. That this is my Christianity at one point. And I will challenge those that do. Okay? That's the depth, the shallow pool that I wanted to stay in and just say, this is good for me. This is safe for me. Christ said, man, let's go deeper than this. I can't do anything with you here. Let's go deeper. And what that meant was I had to start taking seriously the wisdom found in these pages of the gospel. I had to start taking seriously the wisdom of the things that God would say to me that I would try to block out. Hey man, your lifestyle is not beneficial. God, I got this. And the one thing I didn't want to do was submit because of fear. This will rock everything. This will change my world. This will make me somebody I'm not. And that is true. It makes you somebody you were always supposed to be. It makes you into the creation that God initially created you to be. It makes you pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive. And there's nothing wrong with this word, submission. It is beautiful. It goes on, full of mercy and good fruit. When I was the I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't curse Christian, I go to church every Sunday Christian, that's where it stops, Christian, I had very little mercy. Almost non-existent mercy. I didn't care about you. I remember very vividly, and if I ever see this woman again, I have to ask for her forgiveness. She was drunk, and she was a friend of a bass player of mine. And this is like the third or fourth time I had seen her drunk. And I did what every good Christian should do, and I pulled her aside, and I started yelling at her in her face. You want to know why your life sucks? Because it does. You suck at life. You drink all the time and you expect your life to change and it's not going to change. You need Jesus. You laugh, but this was a serious, tense moment in my zero mercy. And it's haunted me ever since. Because I know that at some level, drunk or not drunk, at some level, this woman remembers this conversation, and this woman today probably has not got a good view of Christianity unless God has intervened somewhere around her life. But I was one of those negative marks. I was one of those non-mercy-filled people that handled a potentially good situation that could have led to a beautiful relationship. And I destroyed it. But this true wisdom, this pure wisdom, this peace-loving wisdom, this considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, wisdom didn't start until I started to submit. And then I watch God start taking apart my life slowly and start dealing with selfishness that resides so deep within my spirit. Selfishness that claims it's wise. Selfishness that can point people to right answers and say, you know what, you need to do this, and I don't live it. And it's because I feel I know better. And it's because you feel you know better. And we're going to make it on our own. And that's a lie. We're going to make it because God. We're going to make it because Jesus. We're going to make it because we're going to stop playing the game and we're going to start paying attention to these words here. We're going to make it because we're going to start doing the hard heart work that it takes to unravel this mess that we've made of ourselves. And we're going to start listening for the Holy Spirit's voice in our lives, and we're going to start being obedient to those things. We're going to start being submissive to those things. Oh, you didn't hear that. We're going to start being submissive If you're anything like me, you've carried a lot of crap along your life with you, even up to this moment, even up to this point. And as you heard my shining example last week, man, I got a long road to go, right? And so this moment, you come either with spiritual superiority, you come either with wisdom that you bring to the table, you come with sin, you come with sin. You come with continued, perpetual sin that you read about in these scriptures that convicts you every time you walk in these doors or any time you hear people speak about Jesus or love or grace or mercy. You come with these things today. And the reason you still deal with it is because you refuse to submit. It's because you refuse humility in your life. It's because you refuse to lay down and say, God, your way is better than mine. You will never hear me say that this is easy. Let me read James's words again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom has not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Humility is a yielding of oneself and ready teachability and responsiveness to God's word, resulting in a good and unselfish life of peace with other people. James's words require action that authenticate what we say. So what action do you need to take today? What actions do you need to take today to authenticate this word, to authenticate the spirit that you claim is born inside of you for those that claim that? What action is that for you? For me, I have to pause on a lot of these. This is what true wisdom is. It's peace-loving. It's considerate. I have to pause on a lot of these because, man, I can screw those up just in a heartbeat. So what about your life? What about your lip service about who Jesus is and the great transformation that he's done in you and your life needs action right now? Are you bitter? Are you envious? Do you have wisdom that you believe supersedes God's? Or have you heard God's wisdom and you've turned a deaf ear? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? I thought after I got out of junior high and high school that I would never have to teach or hear teachings on drugs and alcohol again, and I realized that adults do all that stuff too. Weird. Is it just being selfish with your time and who God is and who God desires you to be? For me, back in the day, it was pornography is how I was selfish with my time. Yeah. I spent a lot of time doing a lot of nothing except for just death. I spent a lot of time hanging out with death. What's the action that you need to take today? And that's what we're going to spend time praying about right now. Scripture talks about this beautiful wisdom, and it says, if you need wisdom, just ask. And it will be given to you. And you won't like what it has to say. That's not in there, but that's my experience with it. But if you need wisdom, ask. And let's go one step further than that, beyond this moment, beyond all of our garbage that we've brought in with us today. Let's go beyond that and let's be obedient to what it is that God's asked us to do. Let's be obedient to this lifestyle that we want to give lip service to, that we get on and post super Christian memes about. Let's go beyond lip service, Whitewater. Let's go beyond our own wisdom. Let's start being obedient. Let's start being humble. I want you to pray about your action that needs to be taken today. Right now, and I want you to ask God for wisdom on how best to take that action. For some of you, there's a beautiful program starting called Death Wishes, and there's one already running for men. There's one that's going to be starting for women. Women, if you have addiction issues or anything like that, or you need heavy accountability, or you want the steps to properly overcome whatever it is in your life that you're dealing with, Death Wishes is for you. Men, we already have one launched. But keep an eye out for the next one. But these are ways that we know to help with this accountability, to help get you out of these things that you just give lip service to, but yet you struggle secretly. These are things that wisdom has come from heaven, this pure wisdom, and has said, this is how we can help you. But what action do you need to take today? Let's pray. God, we speak about action and we speak about wisdom today, is what James talks about. And we speak about understanding who is wise and who is understanding among you. But God, wisdom is not something that we just possess in our head. God, if we are wise and if we are claiming wisdom at all, it is something that will be demonstrated in our conduct, God, and how we respond to you. And how we respond to the wisdom that you do give us. God, again, James isn't calling to perfection, and he talks about we know we will stumble, we know that we won't get this right, but that doesn't mean that we don't strive for this. That doesn't mean that we don't push for this. That doesn't mean that we don't listen to you or your words. God, it also doesn't mean that it's going to happen instantly in our lives. It means that it's something that we're going to have to work at living out. God, but the beautiful news is that your Holy Spirit is with us in us, for those of us that claim Jesus, God, for those of us that have said, God, I want to follow you, Jesus, I want to follow you, I believe who you are, God, the Holy Spirit guides us through these things in life, helps us through these things in life. And God, we've gotten good at selective hearing when it comes to the wisdom that the Holy Spirit does bring, that God gives. God, we've gotten good at just turning a deaf ear or hitting panic button in life and saying, I gotta figure this out on my own, or I'll do this and I'll work it out in my own time or my own way because I know better. God, we've gotten good at just running this weird circle that leaves you out of the loop. And yet, we give you lip service, yet we claim that you're to blame for our joy and for our misery. And yet we don't do half the stuff you asked of us. God, we don't take seriously your word. We don't take seriously the wisdom that has already been given to us. God, we almost take it as we can just pick it up or put it down. We can take this lifestyle and pick it up or put it down at random whenever it fits us and whenever it doesn't. Whenever we're excited or feel close to you, or whenever we feel distant, God, we can just take you or leave you. But God, your wisdom goes and flows throughout every area of our life and does guide and does protect. And does give counsel. And does call us to something greater than ourselves. God, and what you ask of us is humility. What you ask of us is a dependence upon you, a recognition of our dependence on you. God, and that we would act out of that. And so, God, today, the action that needs to be taken for each one of these people here, for myself, God, they know what that is. And God, I pray that this wisdom does not stop at head knowledge. God, I pray that this wisdom sinks deep as they've asked for wisdom onto what they need to do next. God, that it sinks so deep within their heart that life change happens. God, that humility will allow life change to happen, that they will be filled. They will be a peace-loving, considerate people. God, that they will be submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And God, as we take you seriously, as we lean on your wisdom, as we lean on those things and just stop giving lip service but actually giving action to them, God, your word says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. God, we say we want to know what your plan is for our life. We say we want to know where you're at in our life. And the last thing we want to do is follow what you've already asked us to do. So God, may we start this morning, may we start today, may we never look back. May we move forward from this point in submission, in humility. God, that we don't lean on our own understanding, but that we always look for yours. God, we love you. It's in your name we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.